God has his hand upon us, and he wants us to be identified as peacemakers. And then I went on and I looked at verse 10, and there we are. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for doing right. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's a reminder. It's not about here. I'm reminded, I often quote to myself, if it is possible, as much as lieth in me, live peaceably with all men. Because the truth is, I am a, by nature, a very hot-headed person. Now, it isn't, I hope, not the testimony I have at this point in my life, but clearly when I was younger, it was a terrible situation. But God, through verses like that, remind me, it's not about me. And it isn't even about things going my way. As a matter of fact, you read passages like what we're in here in the Sermon on the Mount, and you can't help but come to the conclusion that, you know what, I don't think the Lord really planned for it to be all that easy here. I am reminded that many times I've said, you know, if we just live a broken life, if we just live right before God, you know, people will respond better for us. And there's a truth to that. You know, if it is possible, we ought to live peaceably. In fact, as I think about this thing with the, you know, the school and the parking lot, by the way, that's another item on the prayer list. It isn't going to be in the printed one. Printed, it's already gone to the printer. But you want to mark this one down. This Friday, I had an opportunity to speak with these people, and it turns out that Mortenson, the general contractor that's been over this $52 million contract, has a foundation that they set up several years ago to, and Don, help me with the wording. You had it perfectly before. Yeah, help children in displaced families. That's one. And another aspect of it was to help adults that are struggling to find freedom from addiction. Okay, well, another man that I know quite well, I don't know quite well, I know him. He's on the board at Metro Hope, and we're working together on this daycare center to see if we could help stabilize and really underpin the ministries of Metro Hope with an income stream. That's the thought process. He said, you know, Pastor, I know it's going to be awkward, but you've got to figure out some way to get an audience with the foundation. Okay, so, you know, I had to think through this. Now, how am I going to make this? You know, I already have them offering to put the playground equipment on here, and now I'm going to turn around and say, listen. So I prayed and I asked the Lord to say, Lord, guide me on this one. But I called up the man that I'm interacting with, and he has agreed that he will give me an introduction. He's done two things. He said he would give me an introduction to the foundation with the idea that Lauren, the owner, and the top people of the foundation would at least entertain an invitation to tour the Healing House. Now, their office isn't very far from here, so that's definitely a doable thing. They haven't agreed to that, but that was my overture. And I said, you know, the truth is, this is a worthy, worthy ministry. And I wouldn't do this if it was for myself. But this is for a great cause, and I think God is honored by it. And we're short a couple $100,000 to do what we need to do here. And that's why I want to talk to the foundation. Could you help me? He says, I cannot speak for the foundation, but I can tell you, Lee, Pastor Lee is what he referred to me as, that I will make the overture to them. I have a meeting at 3 o'clock on Friday with that same man and another man that's working with him to discuss what that might look like. Pray. If God is in it, this will go just fine. God's not in it, the door's going to be closed, there's nothing any of us could do anyway. But wouldn't it be thrilling if God was in it?
Amen.
Okay. You know what? I wanted to share, looking, I have said before, I'm going to backtrack now to where I was. I went on a rabbit trail, as you well recognize. I've more than once said that, you know, we just need to live right and we can live peaceably in almost every situation. I mean, I've many times walked into the middle of very, very dangerous gang activity and the likes. Well, just a week ago, half a block from my house, a man was shot in the car. He drove another block and died on Broadway. God does allow us to live peaceably and joyfully in the midst of a bunch of chaos. But having said that, I think we also need to be honest about the challenge that is found in Scripture. Look at verse 11 now. What does the Lord Himself share with us? What's His message? Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. Not if, you note, but when. When they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. There are three things here that I'm reminded of that the Lord was saying very clearly. I should not be shocked to be mocked. I should not be shocked if for my stand for the Lord Jesus Christ I receive persecution. I should not be shocked if they'll lie about me. And neither should you be. But that doesn't mean we have to be downtrodden. We need you to recognize that's the world we live in. And our God knows that, and He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And we are been commanded to rejoice in the Lord always, no matter what's going on, not because we love the circumstances. We hate a lot of the circumstances. I mean, really dislike them. But I love my Lord. I love the hand that He has upon me. And all of us need to be reminding ourselves of this beautiful truth. When I look at the next verse, verse 12, what do you have to gain by being persecuted for the sake of Christ? In verse 12 it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Recognize the emphasis in this? For great is your reward in heaven, reminding us that it's not about this event. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In verse 13, what happens if because of life circumstances we lose our testimony? Or maybe we keep our testimony, but I think really the implication of this, we've lost our voice. We're just preoccupied with life and the pressures instead of occupied on where we're headed and who has given us the ticket there. And who could provide others? Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. I read that. It really challenged my own heart to say, have I been distracted by the pressures of life, lost my joy, and have shut my mouth? I said, no, Lord, I am not allowing that. I'm not going there. If you have gone there, and you recognize that you ought not to be there, I trust you'd recognize if you've gone there, you ought not to be. And here's the way you can tell. Have you spoken to anybody this week about Jesus? If you haven't, then you need to repent and you need to purpose to speak about Jesus the rest of the week. It isn't something just for me or just for one or two others. It is clear that if you are a believer, if you really know Jesus, we, of all people, need to be talking about Jesus. When I look at verse 14 and 15, what should we do with our Christian witness? Now look at verse 14 and 15. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp or put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And then note verse 16 specifically. Let your light, notice how personal this gets, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
During World War II, they told the sailors not to light a light up on the deck. It could be seen for 8 miles. One matchstick could be seen for 8 miles out at sea. Mm. And that darkness does not conquer light. Light conquers darkness.
Amen. And we know what? We're living in a day and age when there's a whole lot of darkness around. And therefore, we ought to be able to shine brightly. That, by the way, is why we, you and me, need to start going door to door again in our neighborhood. Amen. We got to go knock on the doors. We have got to talk to people we're around. We need to invite people. We need to talk about Jesus. And I remind you that it says that they may see your good works. We need to be investing ourselves in such a way that God gets the glory. See how this ends? They see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not for the praise of men, but it's for the glory of our Lord that we really need to purpose to be the men and women that God's called us to be. We're getting that those, and since we have just a second, we're going to sing one while we get the, and then we're going to split up into groups and pray.